Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome everybody to Wednesday War Games episode 32. Joining me as always is my co-host Liam Jones. Liam, tell me about the Snyder Cut.
It's gonna be it's a bad movie. It's gonna be a bad movie. And people are gonna be like, oh man, that was as bad as the original was. Why did we get our hopes up? And then I read a thing today about how it actually supports toxic fan bases. And like at first, you know, you kind of just go, ooh. But then you read into it, like, actually, yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Because now there's gonna be all these fan bases like, well, if we just complain and be shits about everything, we'll get the way we want eventually. Because that's what happened to you.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
People are the worst. Though at the same time, Warner Brothers are just like, we're launching HBO Max. Let's cash in on these people.
Oh, it's going to make bank. Do you have any hope that it will be a better film?
No. Like, he finished it. Well, he didn't finish it. But, like, he stepped out in post-production after shooting the entire film. And, like, 85% of that film is his. At best, Joss Whedon added jokes. And like, Joss Whedon was a scriptwriter on the film in the first place. He was brought in for Punch-Up. His identity was already baked into the film.
It's going to be darker. Like, literally, not even in tonally. It's just going to be darker.
I'm looking forward to the mental gymnastics people will have to do to insist it's good. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, they have to because they just spent like 4 years complaining about something. And then when something comes out and it doesn't address any of the actual issues because all of the issues were baked in there from the beginning, and just being, you know, essentially a cash grab.
And by all accounts, it's either going to be a 4-hour film or a 6-part miniseries, both of which sounds unbearable.
Oh, the mini series is just ugh. I don't even know if I can get HBO Max.
I can't anyway. It's not available in Ireland.
How are we okay in this world in which we have so much like globalization all under one giant banner at this point? Everything's connected. How do we still have things like that?
Well, it's usually because they've sold the rights to too much stuff that they can't really do. Like, particularly in the UK and Ireland, they've sold a lot of the HBO library rights to Sky, who have Sky Atlantic. So if they were there to launch HBO Max in Ireland, they wouldn't be able to have, like, Game of Thrones. So there's no point.
I think Australia has a certain amount of, like, monopoly laws in regards to streaming and in regards to IP stuff. Like, I remember when Netflix first launched here, there was a big problem with the library because so much of the library had been sold to free-to-air TV, and there was some sort of law where you couldn't have something on free TV as well being on a paid service. It had to be one or the other.
Which is a reasonable law.
Yeah, well, it was very interesting, and it took Netflix a long time to build a decent catalogue.
You know what I'm looking forward to? I hope in like 5 years, Triple H does a media interview and is like, or Vince interfered with my vision for NXT, and then we get the release the Triple H cut people.
Well, the release the Triple H cut is just going to be like, okay, the first 3 years of NXT.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the easiest excuse in the world, though. It's like, oh, the studio stifled my creativity. It's like, ah, get over yourself. You made bad films before this. This was probably going to be a bad film. In fact, it's probably a slightly better film, and it'll nearly certainly be worse. That's the thing. And yeah.
Oh, it's going to be worse. Not even if, like, initially it would have been a better film, like, just side by side, it's going to be worse because expectations are going to be set so high for it. It's never going to reach the level that everyone... Well, not everyone, that nerds had built up in their own heads.
It's not out for another year, though, so...
At the very least, like, it's a landmark event. So regardless of intent or the story behind it, it is still a kind of a cool moment. Like, even if it does, you know, incite...
Enable toxic
fan. Yeah, a toxic fan base. And it's just more of that, it should all be directed for me attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why isn't the blockbuster film suiting all my needs specifically?
Which is very self-entitled nerddom, and it's all Mass Effect 3's fault for changing the ending.
It's funny, like, I came into Mass Effect 3 was my first Mass Effect game, and I came into it not knowing anything, and I was like, man, the ending's not so bad, because all I heard was like, pow, the ending sucks, and I was like, oh, the ending's fine.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 3 is a good game.
None of these... I really do hate that attitude. The fact that, like, it needs to be fixed. It's like, no, it doesn't. It's just like, watch something. If it's bad, move on with your life. If it's good, yay, it's good.
If it's bad, you have the right to complain about it, but I don't think you have the right to demand it be changed to suit your needs. Like, what happened to just like, oh man, that movie sucked. Oh, like, oh, that movie was good, and then it kind of hit a problem at the end. Ugh, whatever. Like, why does it have to now be, all right, go back and fix it?
Because people feel like they can wield that power.
Entitlement.
And apparently they can.
Well, yes. There he goes. It was like, it was all just like fictional entitlement. And then it's like, oh, wait, no. Now it's real. Now you actually have to bend your whim. It's the Daniel Bryan problem. You bend your whims once for the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania moment, and now you have to hear them boo Roman Reigns forever.
Yeah, on the topic of toxic fandom, every week we talk about AEW Dynamite and WWE NXT. AEW won last week, so we will start with AEW Dynamite this week. And I have to shout out Larry Zonka, who was... God, this is a terrible week between Larry and Chad. Like, every week we'd use Larry's reviews as like... Because I'm super lazy and I don't want to take extensive notes. So we used to use Larry's reviews just to make sure we weren't missing anything. That's we based our structure on Larry's reviews and Larry passed this week. And Larry was the like the hardest working, nicest, supportive guy. Like, not a person on earth had a bad word to say about him. And his work ethic put everybody to shame. He reviewed freaking Explosion. Nobody watches Explosion. Never mind reviews it. And he reviewed Explosion.
Well, I remember we would be going to find AEW and NXT results, and we'd see that, like, he had reviewed the NXT UK shows that were just best ofs. And we're like, why are you doing this? This is so much work.
Main Event. Nobody, legitimately... Yeah.
Well, one person reviews Main Event.
Yeah, but legitimately, his reviews are one of the more valuable archival sources in the history of wrestling, because no one else talks about episodes of Main Event. If they disappeared off the network, they would disappear forever as if they never happened.
It also goes down to show you that, like, in a world where wrestling Twitter and any journalist is torn to pieces, Larry Zonka never was. Like, someone just with universal respect on a platform that shows no respect to anyone.
That's a bummer of a week. We'll miss Larry.
Mm. And also, Shad, who we saw had nothing but positive things come out about him. It really kind of sucks, man. This has been a real... Like, as much as I hate the whole 2020 or I hate this year meme, like,
this year sucks. And every year we're like, next year will be the good year, and then it's worse again. It's like the world is just spiraling out of control. There's no hope.
Well, I think we need to accept that every year is just gonna suck forever, and we'll never... I legitimately think we've had our golden period
as a species.
As I think I in my lifespan I have had my peak. I think from me being like, I don't know, 10 to 22 was like the best years of my life on a global scale. Not even just
when the world was okay and everything was fine.
Yeah. When we still had problems, but it didn't feel like every year we were getting closer to non-existence. Yeah,
veering toward anarchy at any given moment.
No, this is a very weird topic to go down on. But it was like, I remember there was one time where I was like, for so much of my life, the concept of a world war was null and void to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then in the last 3 years, it's just been something in the back of my head. The entire
like,
time.
When you think about like how like one small incident sparked World War One, like the murder of, I don't know history, what's his name? Some count somewhere. There Ted we go. Danson. Ted Danson's still alive. But like how something small, due to like political allegiances, can spark a world war. And now, like historically, you're like, how does that happen? And now you're like, oh, now I know how that happens.
It's like, oh, now we're witnessing it.
Oh dear. Yeah.
If only, like, there was some sort of gigantic choice that was made roughly 4 years ago that spurned
in both the United Kingdom and the United States.
And the world.
Oh, dear. The Australian forest fires were this year.
Yeah, and we've moved on from that.
That feels like 15 quickly. Years ago.
We were talking about it on this podcast in the lifespan of this show.
God damn it.
I like how lately... all of our intros have just spurned into like geopolitical discussion. I think that's the natural progression of this podcast once NXT gets up.
Right. It's me queuing you up with a pop culture event of the week, and then we just veer into how the world is tumbling toward demise.
Hey man, I'm perfectly fine talking about anything and everything with my friend Garrett Gidney. Because we would probably be having these discussions anyway, except we'd probably be playing TEW at the same time.
All Elite Dynamite opened with Mr. Brody Lee coming to the ring with the Dark Order. Oh, this was such a terrible promo. Brody cut, like, the worst Seth Rollins promo I've seen in my life. I hate Brody Lee. I'm officially giving up on Brody Lee. I think the character is terrible.
Wow.
I think the character is absolute, like, cringy nonsense. That's something that you would see at the start of Monday Night Raw. He's Seth Rollins. Like, legit. Ultimately, the character is the exact same as the current Seth Rollins character, except this is a show that's not supposed to have those stupid verbiage promos that say nothing with the annoying long pauses. And it's just like, I never liked any of the Mr. Brody. I never liked the Vince parody stuff. I thought it was cringy and terrible. And all this, no, I'm formally done hand waving it. Mr. Brody Lee sucks.
You sound like a out of touch old
man. I am
an
out of touch old man. Garrett. I don't care. I'm the Vince of this podcast. But like you were watching the show and I was like, I'm going to bury this
show.
I'm
the cool young hip Triple H.
I was like, I hated this show. And you were like, why? And we'll get into the many reasons I really didn't like this show. Especially this was the go home show for Double or Nothing, which is, as we record this, tomorrow. Which certainly doesn't, I can't believe there's an AEW pay-per-view this weekend energy.
Well, to be fair, nothing matters and everything sucks. There's no crowd.
But also, these shows haven't been particularly good. Particularly at building toward a pay-per-view.
I can't argue with that, I suppose. yeah, this opening promo didn't do a lot for me. I don't know, man. I liked a little bit of the... I don't want to say character development, but maybe just the development of the structure of the Dark Order. In that we were seeing that there's levels to this shit. Yeah. But, like, outside of that... See, I was giving AEW a lot of credit because I assumed that Brody Lee being Mox's opponent was a last-minute throw because they had no one else. But Cody did the presser last night where he said that 90% of Double or Nothing is the same as it was before the Corona stuff. So... If one of the changes wasn't Brody Lee as Mox's opponent, I kind of can't give them that leeway anymore because there's been like almost null void of a build to this. Whereas something like we saw at Revolution, where like literally MJF Cody was built from one pay per view to the other, a 3-month build, but this title build here is 3 weeks.
And even like Mox and Jericho had a full like 8 week story about Mox joining the freaking Inner Circle, and they played that out over the entire 2 months building up to Revolution.
I get that like things have been all thrown in away, but like I feel like you could have honestly, they should have blown off the SCU Dark Order stuff in like 3 weeks from Brody's debut, but we had it go all the way until the second week before Mox. He challenges Mox for the title on pay-per-view.
Yeah, the fact that as of the week before Brody actually attacked Mox, we were still going, who the hell is going to face Mox at the pay-per-view? Tells you that they've done very little to build to this match. Like, it was still an open question until Brody Lee walked out. And it wasn't like, oh, of course it's Brody Lee because of the X, Y, and Z that happened before. It's like, oh, they've just gone with Brody Lee, I guess.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I still attest that it should have been Park in this position, but...
Well, Park's not available, so...
Yeah, well, in a world in which it was available.
Indeed. John Moxley then defeated 10, and this match annoyed me too, because, like, 10 should not get a single solitary move on John Moxley. Not one. He should be killed. He should just be killed. He's the nameless, faceless goon from a Dark Order. He should get murdered.
He has a name. Press 10 Vance. I didn't appreciate Excalibur unmasking Preston Vance in this match.
Well, we're supposed to know he was Preston Vance, aren't we?
No, I don't like... No, not in the promos. They never show that it's him. They just have... They have his name, but that's more of like an Easter egg thing.
All right.
This was okay. See, I don't think it should have been just like Mox hits the DDT and wins.
I think it should have been Mox hits like 4 DDTs and wins.
Yeah. I guess, they were going by the old Jake the Snake. You don't... Beating a jobber means nothing unless the jobber has some sort of a comeback.
But the jobber is a nobody. Like, it's stupid.
I think they want to do... Stupid. I don't know. I think they want to do something with 10. Maybe don't try that out against your world champion a week before his title defense.
Like, if you're going to put 10 in there as a guy, you want to at least get something on John Moxley. You have to do something with 10 before that, not put him on Dark and then have him face John Moxley and get some stuff in. And I'm like, no, don't get some stuff in. Kill him.
Mm.
That's stupid. I hate
but,
this.
But Mox still feels like a really big star.
I thought I liked the post-match where Mox was like, I will murder your goon. And like Brody's like, all right, do it.
Yeah, that was fun. And Brody was just ran. He's like, oh, I'm out of here.
I don't care about him. It's fine.
I'm really interested in that match, though, and how they're going to book it.
Who's going to win? Well, I think Mox is going to win, but how is he going to... AEW is a finish problem, which we'll talk about in this show, but, like, if you go back to, you know, they did the MJF finish against Jericho, or for Cody and Jericho, so, like, they're not above doing kind of screwy finishes on pay-per-view, even if they're for big angles. And like they do have a tendency to try and find cheap ways out of finishes. They're trying to find quote unquote creative ways out of finishes, and they're usually quite bad. So yeah, like Mox should just beat him. But then it's Brody Lee in his first like real big match. He beat Daniels, I guess. That's a reasonably mid-level match. But in his first like pay-per-view match, do you want Brody Lee losing to Jon Moxley? Probably not. But he should.
Yeah, it's a weird one. But then it's like, the whole thing is like, where does Brody Lee go after this Moxley feud anyway?
Yeah, back to the SCU feud. Woo!
I guess, yeah. 10 did a cool ripcord deal. That was fun.
Sure.
10, if she'd be committed enough to the gimmick to get the two Switchblade Jay White logos tattooed on his chest.
I wouldn't be committed enough to that gimmick to get that tattoo.
Well, I would, and that's saying something about me, I think.
10 should actually start a feud with Sean Spears. That's where he should go. It's like, hey, why aren't I 10?
You really have this, like... Like, you're really on this, like, it should have been Sean Spears.
He's the
trail.
10 guy. You can't have a guy called 10 when you have the 10 guy.
He's not
your
even
show.
10 guy anymore.
He's always
he's
the
10 guy.
He's forever the 10 guy.
He's chair guy.
His whole gimmick was that he was 10.
But next... I guess we're done with this segment.
Yes, MJF defeated Marco Stunt in a perfectly fine squash. It was a perfectly fine squash.
This is war.
Wardlow showed up. Wardlow nearly died.
Clearly a choice he made to make MJF look better.
Yes, Wardlow is a professional who will nearly fall off the ring apron or trip over the steps, whatever he did, just so he doesn't overshadow MJF. What a pro. What a like top-of-the-barrel professional wrestler.
Wardlow fucking rules.
And MJF is there. MJF doesn't have a personality as a wrestler, I find. He's like, I'm a guy who does German suplexes and nip-ups and then latches on a chin lock for 15 minutes. It's like, work out who you are.
I don't think he really knows how to translate his, like, persona into being an actual wrestler in the ring. Mm. It feels like there's a bit of a disconnect between, like, part A and part B here, where it's like, when he's out of the ring and he's cutting a promo, I think he has a very clear idea of what his character is. But I don't think he knows how to bring that character into the wrestling world, even in such, like, his finish is an armbar,
yeah,
and that seems odd, like, but, like, I don't know what should his finish be. I think there needs to be more discussion into how to incorporate his character into his in-ring stuff better,
because, like, the idea of his finish being a submission is like, oh, he's a shooter boy, but he's not. He's an entitled rich jerk whose finish should be something that you can kind of flash, hit out of nowhere, and it's credible, but feels like a cheap win when he hits it, you know?
Or at least if it's a submission, it's a submission that's embarrassing his opponent or something. Mm. Like, not just a legitimate armbar.
He doesn't have a wrestling persona. He doesn't feel like he's worked out who he is as a pro wrestler, and you see it every time he wrestles.
I think he'll get there eventually, to be fair.
So that's a big debate for the Voices of Wrestling Slack.
So, do you think MJF's charisma will be enough to carry him forward in an in-ring company?
You know the official Wednesday War Games prediction that Wardlow is the real star of this group.
Of course. Well, that's going to be a megastar. Like, I firmly believe this.
And the thing is, when they actually feud, when Wardlow splits from MJF, he should just beat MJF in 2 minutes. Like, they should do the full pay-per-view build. It should be like a street fight or something. And then Wardlow just kills him.
Like, Wardlow is, like, squaring down, Max tries to run away, he starts climbing over the rope, he grabs him, just drops him on his knee and pins him.
Yeah. This is war.
You know, it's actually, I'm kind of sad that MJF is back, because I'd rather see Wardlow squashes.
And legitimately, the main thought going through my head was, imagine how much better this squash match against Marco Stunt would be if it was Wardlow.
They're gonna have it one day.
They will.
That should be a buy-in match, because I would legitimately
pay money.
Like, I'd pay money for the, like, if I saw Wardlow kill Marco Stunt, I would be dropping down the bucks for the pay-per-view.
Mm. Aaron Anderson and Jake Roberts met in the middle of the ring, and these are two very charismatic men who spent, like, 10 minutes saying absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I didn't really, this is the one thing on the show I was like, okay.
Because it's like, you watch there, and it's like, oh, these two men can talk, but they're talking about nothing. They're saying literally nothing.
But the thing is, like, Arn can talk, but so can Cody.
Mm.
Like, and Cody's involved in the match.
And, like, when Archer beat Dustin, murdered Dustin in front of Cody, then you're like, oh, this is a good feud going into Double. This is the one thing going into Double or Nothing that's had, like, a proper full build. And then last week they do the weird freaking truck angle. And this week they have this meaningless rambling Jake and Arn promo. And we don't hear from Cody on this show. We don't even see Lance on this show. And, like, I don't know. It was such a flat build to what, on paper, or at least the build up until this show, had been, like, the biggest match heading into Double or Nothing. Everything on Double or Nothing feels so flat.
Like, I feel like it'd be way more of an effective segment to just have Cody come out and talk about, you tried to murder my brother, and now I have to fight you and win.
Yeah, this has been Cody and Jake, not freaking Aaron and Jake.
It's like, we like Arn. It's not like we're anti-Arn or anything.
And I get the appeal of the segment. I get the idea. It's like, oh, two legends of the ring, the two managers on each side will face off and try and sell the match. But they did a pretty, pretty bad job of selling the match.
I wonder if, like, we'll look back at this and we'll see, like, man, AEW was so good, but they just couldn't get their head out of nostalgia. And it's not, I don't even think it's, like, audience nostalgia. I think it's Cody's nostalgia.
Yeah, they're stuck in the 90s, aren't they? And in some ways, that's good, because, like, some of this stuff, some of their 90s...
Take things away from stuff, that, because the 90s was the most successful, like, American wrestling's ever been. Like... But, like, I feel like you need to evolve it. Respect history without relying on history.
And it's not like he's doing, like, Attitude Era stuff, which has been done to death. He's doing, like, early 90s WCW
well,
stuff.
Well, we'll see what happens when Mike Tyson is in the ring with him.
That's very true. He's going to punch Jake Roberts.
He's going to kill Jake Roberts if he punches Jake Roberts.
He probably will. Pac was back for the first time since coronavirus.
Thank God. Why couldn't Pac be doing this the entire time?
He's a much better promo than MJF is. To continue to dunk on MJF, when you look at Pac, it's like, that's a man with intent, that's a man who is sinister, that's a man who you believe, that's a man who's a main event player, and you look at MJF and he's baby's first promo.
I did. I think we may have skipped over something, by the way.
What did we skip? Oh, well, there was the Darby video.
I think we skipped Darby's segment. I only remembered because Darby lit his things on fire and then Park lit his on fire right after.
It was a pyromaniac's dream, this show.
NXT has all like the kidnappings and assaults, and AEW has all the pyromaniacs.
And Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy's entrance is setting things on fire, so there you go.
We'll get to that, but I hope Matt Hardy lights like people on fire.
He should.
I just think that'd be really nice. So yeah, Darby had a cool segment. He studied cinema, fun fact.
you couldn't possibly tell watching his pre-tapes.
I know. But it's funny, it's like how you can directly, like, oh man, that guy was a film student, and then I was watching his Shot of Brandy episode. And Shot of Brandy is really good, by the way. If you don't watch Shot of Brandy, you should go out of your way to watch Shot of Brandy. The Darby episode, he literally talks like he was a film student. I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm. Park. I like Park.
Yeah, now we go to the Park one. I wonder if Park was a film student.
I don't think he films these. Well, he does film. He's obviously in them. But yeah, Park has a sense of style that's just like, yes, this is great. I love Park. Park's like the best thing on the show.
If I were to hazard a guess, I'd imagine the same guy that did Jimmy Havoc's Progress promos would be involved in these in some manner.
Park basically cut Phoenix's promo for him ahead of Phoenix against Orange Cassidy in a match that was really, really good. But because it's an empty arena match, all that was going through my head is, like, legitimately, this would have been one of the best matches of the year in front of a crowd.
I mean, I really liked it still.
Yeah, it was so good. It was, except the finish, which we'll talk about in a second. But Phoenix, Orange Cassidy's one of the best wrestlers in the company. So put him against Phoenix and just like, yeah, just do wacky shit and have fun. Like, this match, it was so good, but I hate empty arena wrestling. Yeah. Even when it's good, I can't help but think about how much better it would have been if they had an audience.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be out of this world soon.
But it was really, really good. But the finish was absolutely dreadful.
I didn't mind the finish.
It was such a WWE finish where the dude just walks out with a ladder and it's a distraction finish, low blow, cutter win. And I'm just like, that's
if it was anyone else, I'd be like, gross, but it's Kip Sabian and he's meant to be a dope.
I don't care. I don't want those kind of finishes are the worst kind of overplayed finishes done to death. Like, that is a finish you would see in the build-up to WWE Money in the Bank. And when that's the case, no. Absolutely not. Don't do it.
Yeah, it didn't annoy me the same way it annoyed you.
It annoyed me a lot. I hate it's not the finish I hate at least on Wednesday night show. Ooh, we'll talk about that.
We'll find out what that was.
NXT. But
stay tuned.
Regardless. After the match, everybody in the ladder match came out, hit dives. None of the dives were caught. Phoenix nearly died.
Yeah. Again, the first of three injuries on this show.
For the love of God. Like, there's an epidemic of not catching dives. It's just like, catch dives. God's sake.
Especially when there's nine of you.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people. Like, you should see Phoenix. Like, you should be a professional looking up and step forward. That's what you should be doing there. You should be aware of Phoenix and you should step forward and catch him.
While we're here, we should do our official War Games predictions for who the ninth man in the ladder match is.
Drew Gulak.
I'm going to go with Matt Cardona.
But he's not available unless we waived his 90 days.
Who knows? Let's just go with it. I hope it's Drew, because I don't remember. Was it me or you had the good Drew idea?
That was me. Don't steal my ideas.
Are you sure it was you? I thought it was me.
That he should be put together with Taz.
I think I said that.
I said that in Slack, and then I could literally go back and check when you said, I love Garrett's idea of putting Drew Gulak with Taz.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was you. I'm going to take it, though. Yeah, so I have this great idea where I think Drew Gulak should be Taz's eventual mentee to take on Darby after Darby rejected him, like, twice. And that's my great idea, TM, trademarked a Liam idea.
Which means now that if they want to do it, Tony Khan has to pay you.
He already does.
There we go. That thing going around Twitter. Do we get a cut of that, what is it, 100 grand on that thing going around Twitter?
Yeah, at the end of the quarter.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, ladder match. It's a weird ladder match. I'm interested in how that'll play out with the freaking entrances. Whoever comes, it should be Drew Gulak, or like, realistically, I think it's one of two people. I think it's Chris Hero or Drew Gulak.
It should be Darby's climbing, and then the last guy comes out, just throws him off the ladder.
Yeah.
Murders him. Hero would be cool.
Hero would be cool. Who else was released by NXT that would be available?
Victor and Connor of the Ascension.
It could be Deonna Purrazzo. Put her in the ladder match.
She just runs up and grabs the chip.
There you go. And challenges Who's the champ? John Moxley. There we go.
John Moxley versus Deonna Purrazzo, huh?
Which takes us on to the women. Nyla Rose and Britt Baker defeated Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida in a match that completely fell apart when Britt got injured. And yeah, rough. Though if the finish was inaudible, the finish annoyed me too, because Nyla Rose pinned her challenger on Saturday. So like, even if the finish was inaudible,
Shida has the win now, right?
You would think so in theory. But like, they got the heat back. They did the worst kind of finish that I hate. I hate. Again, it's WWE bullshit where like Nyla pinned Shida, and then Shida put Nyla through a table so nobody gets over. You know, champion got beat up, Shida got pinned, Shida beat somebody up. Everyone's the same. Nobody's going anywhere. And like, if it was inaudible, pin Chris. Why don't you pin Chris Statlander? Yeah.
Hey, Britt died, so...
Britt did die.
I feel really bad for her, because, like, I saw that knee, I was like, ugh.
She basically had all of Nyla's weight come down on her knee, and then... Oof. Yeah, rough. Rough indeed, though her knee probably should have been... Separate your legs on cannonballs in the corner, folks. That doesn't happen. Alas, there...
Oh, well, you never know. Could have been knocked loopy or something, and just... One of those things that happens on the odd occasion...
When I saw Phoenix nearly die, it's like, he probably only had the wind knocked out of him, I hope. He could have broken a rib or something the way he came down, but hopefully he only had the wind knocked out of him.
I believe the report was that he had an injured rib, but not broken.
God damn it. Catch dives and move your legs out of the way of cannonballs. These are the important lessons that we learned from this television show.
The more you know.
John Moxley cut a promo. Again, nothing on this show was like, oh, this is the big go. Actually, no, I tell a lie. The very last angle was. But until then, everything else on the show that was like building toward the pay-per-view was very like by the numbers. It's like, all right, this pay-per-view is the most obligatory thing that ever happened in AEW history.
Just wait another month. See if you can get people. See if you can do a proper build.
Just cancel. Yeah, they should have just canceled the show. I think we said that at the time. Just cancel Double or Nothing. It's fine. Just keep doing TV. Just cancel Double or Nothing.
My theory with all wrestling was just don't run shows until you can run shows with the crowds. But I guess they can't, because who knows what like things are in play with TV contracts and such, especially when they're a new show on a new network.
Yeah.
Like, I have less like... faith in other shows that have existing properties, but it's like, I get it, it's new. If you don't run, people could lose their jobs in the long run. So it's like, it's a weird moral dilemma in which there are no right answers, I feel, at this point. But they're doing as best as they can, so
Sean Spears held Sean Spears News, where he basically set up his match with Dustin Rhodes for Saturday, so all the Cody stuff is building to a match with Dustin, I guess.
I think, yeah, I don't know, man. I like Sean Spears getting a match, at least. He has some good, like, comedic timing. There was a painkiller jab.
There was. How did you feel about that?
It's heat, I'm sure. The thing is, like, I kind of, like, really roll my eyes at that kind of stuff. Because it's like... it's not like I think he really shot that on Dustin and didn't tell him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a 75% chance that Dustin gave him the idea to say it.
At the same time, though, for a match that you've literally given a random one-week build, don't use a line like that, you know?
But that's, I guess...
Like, I don't mind using a line like that if it's meaningful.
How do we make something that has a one-week build have any sort of heat to it? Well, you get personal, I suppose. And I guess I'll be fine with it if on whatever Countdown show or Road 2 show, we have a Dustin interlude where he talks about it.
That shouldn't have been on the promo, it should have been on the show.
You gotta remember, like, the Countdown show was a real show that they try to push, though. It's not like we can ignore that. It's not like it's fucking BTE.
It's still a show that'll be watched by, at best, half the audience your television shows. Like, your go-home television show, the Countdown show should be reinforcing the stories, not telling them.
Well, I like the Countdown show, personally, in a completely unrelated review of it.
Well, you haven't watched it yet. It's not on until tonight.
Well, I like the other ones that they've done.
But yeah, if you're going to use a line like that, make it meaningful. Don't not a throwaway line in a one-week build to a program no one cares about. Come on.
Matthew Hardy.
Matt Hardy continues his streak of having very good matches in AEW. You know, you can beat Matt Hardy over the head for his broken shtick, and I understand if you don't like it. But Matt Hardy is now 3-for-3 on having really good matches on AEW Dynamite.
I wish he was wearing his, like, weird Seth gear.
Burn it down. Which is that? That's not Damascus. That's one of the other ones.
No, that's the one that wasn't explained. Damascus is like the full red gear.
Yeah, and then there's Hardy Boys Matt Hardy, which also exists.
I hope he brings back Big Money Matt. That's my favorite Matt Hardy.
TNA World Heavyweight Champion Matt Hardy.
Yeah, and then like also like, bullied Matt Hardy from Ring of Honor.
If Spud is actually fired, they can put together the full group. They can bring in Tyrus, they can bring in a Spud, and do full Big Money Matt.
Tyrus is cancelled.
Yes, in many ways.
Thoroughly cancelled.
He is the true champion of not catching dives. Matt Hardy defeated Sammy Guevara with a Twist of Fate, his second Twist of Fate, both of which looked very good. Sammy took great bumps for those.
Sammy's a goddamn star. I can always say it every week, but it's like it's becoming more and more apparent. Like, this is your dude. Like, get out of here, Jungle Boy.
Well, Jungle
Sammy G's where it's at.
Jungle Boy is Sammy's much further along than Jungle Boy, in fairness. Mm. Like if Sammy is the guy in 3 years, Jungle Boy is the guy in 5.
Is he, though?
We'll find out.
Will we, though?
Will AEW last that long? No way of knowing.
Dun, dun, dun.
The show ended with the Elite had Kenny Omega hostage and tied to a goalpost before, or the Inner Circle had Kenny Omega tied up.
Don't we all wish
that Chris Jericho would be torturing us tied to a goalpost?
Yes! Explicitly.
Before the Young Bucks returned and made the save, they got beaten up, and then Hangman Page made the best return in the history of wrestling.
It ruled. It ruled so much. I wish there was a crowd that, like, popped huge for it.
Well, in fairness, there would have been an empty arena regardless.
Yeah, but you can always still... They have, like, the things in the background.
Indeed. So they were in one end zone, and you could see somebody running across the pitch to the middle of the pitch.
I was like, it's Hangman.
And Hangman ran the 100-yard dash all the way up and clotheslined Jake Hager and ran wild, and then walked away as well.
In goddamn cowboy boots.
Yes, indeed. He ran the entire length of a football pitch and hit a clothesline in cowboy boots. You were like, oh, I want him to come out in a horse.
Oh, yeah, I did think it would be funny if he just, like, ran in on a horse.
Buckshot lariated off the horse. Did his
buckshot lariat off of it.
Yeah. But, yeah, that match is the only match on the pay-per-view, because it's the only match that's not, like, a wrestling match. So I'm just like, they'll do wacky shit in a football stadium. It'll be fun.
I like that one side of the field has the Elite logo, the other side has the Inner Circle logo.
Indeed. And I like that there was a little bit of character development, too, because after they stood tall, Hangman Page walked off.
Of course, like, because the end story is going to be Hangman turning on Kenny.
Or was it Kenny turn? No, they shouldn't turn. I don't like Hangman turning. He's too good of a babyface.
He's going to hit that goddamn buckshot. He's going to murder him in the face. Or Kenny's going to, like, convince the Bucks to triple super kick him.
Mm-hmm.
God, now all I can think about is that, like, the finish of their tag match. Where there's, like, that brief moment where Kenny and the Bucks all turn their, like, hips to him. And he thinks that they're going to triple super kick him, but they don't.
Yeah, I'd actually be much more in favor of... but Kenny turning before he wins the title is stupid, too. Nah, there's no good turns here. Don't do turns.
Kenny turns, wins the title as a heel from Mox.
I guess you could do that, but that would be a very weird first Hangman Kenny title.
Hangman is, like, the long-term... Hangman is the long-term guy that takes it off the evil Kenneth Omega.
I don't like Kenny turning. I don't like Kenny's first title win being as a heel.
But I suppose Kenny heel Hangman face is your best long-term pay-per-view main event.
Yeah, it makes more sense coming out of it, but still. I don't like any turns. Don't do turns. No.
Maybe. Anti-turn. How about this, Garrett? I propose this scenario to you.
Mm-hmm.
After this show happens here, the stadium... We move on to a Hangman Jericho program.
Mm.
And in the meantime, we move on to Omega Mox again. And Omega wins as a face and starts developing heel tendencies as Hangman makes the come up to face him.
Yeah. Or if you could somehow manufacture that so that Omega steals Hangman's title shot, that would be cool.
Or they have like some sort of, I just want the goddamn G1.
There you go.
AEW1, damn it.
That's Dynamite, a pretty crappy go-home show, and a show that had way too many... It felt too much like an episode of Raw. I looked at the clock after Phoenix and Orange Cassidy, watching this show live, and there was still 45 minutes left, and I was like, ugh. And that's not a feeling I usually have watching Dynamite, and it's a feeling I had this week, because it felt a lot like Raw.
I thought it was a pretty breezy show. I wasn't looking at the clock at any point, I don't think. It wasn't, like, a great show, but yeah, I thought it was okay. I didn't hate anything, really.
There was many things that irked me. Irked me, Liam!
You are very irkable.
Some would say I'm a big irk.
And now we're going to go to our sponsor of the week, Garrett.
Which is, me.
Yes, that was literally going to make the joke that it was going to be your YouTube channel.
Yeah, youtube.com/GarrettKidney. There should be a Mario Galaxy video up tomorrow if I'm not a nerd.
And I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, where is the kazoo? Why hasn't he played the kazoo? We need more kazoo.
Sure, millions. The millions and millions of our fans are wondering
this. I had nothing but positive reviews on the kazoo, I'll have you know.
That's true.
The kazoo's retired. We're going to leave it on a high note. I don't want it to be played out or gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a goddamn instrument that deserves respect.
We're not Chris Jericho. We don't run our bits into the ground until we have to come up and do ones.
Yeah, I got a ticket. A ticket to music. A ticket to the soul, damn it. And that's the kazoo. And I will not play it out.
You think you know
me. I will not see its majestic ability tarnished by repetitive bits.
There you go. Speaking of repetitive bits, WWE NXT opened with Killer Cross and Scarlett Bordeaux. Cross killed him. Or Karrion Cross, I'm so sorry. Cross killed a nerd. Ciampa faced off. There you go, Ciampa Cross.
Hey, it was Karrion Cross versus me.
Oh, apparently this person had Liam on his ass, so there you go.
There was a Liam and a Garrett on this show.
Oh, yeah, there was. So there we go. NXT is trying to curry favor by naming characters after us.
This was Liam Gray of the Skulk.
You're a Skulk.
So, Karrion Kross running through the Evolve roster.
As one does.
Scarlett looked much nicer here.
I was thinking, watching this, that like this is Ciampa's return for the first time in like 4 weeks or whatever since he was attacked. I was like, if there was a crowd here, this would have felt like a much bigger moment.
Yeah. I thought the entrance was a little less dumb, because I think they toned it down slightly.
Yeah. I think they didn't do the lip syncing during the entrance, did they?
Yeah.
Which is...
And Scarlett looked much nicer. And I'm also still a big fan of, like, the mist being in the ring as he murders these poor, poor men.
I hope the entire match with Ciampa is wrestled like that. And then every other match
all
of the show
45 minutes of it.
Indeed. The two angry bald men of NXT will face off a takeover.
Did you see Tommaso Ciampa came out and he said that was killer?
That was his name on the Independence and in Impact Wrestling.
Like Killer Cross.
Like his name should be.
Why can't they ask? It's so weird who gets new names and who doesn't now.
They're probably like, oh, we corporately, we can't have a character called Killer, even though they have a character called The Undertaker.
But still, it's like a Drake Maverick, but a Jake Atlas.
Yeah. Who gets names and who doesn't is very strange.
It used to be very like, we had a point where we swapped and we just used their names, but then like it went back for a while and then it came back again.
Yeah, so that you get, as you said, like El Hijo del Fantasma is still using his name, even though he was renamed and then de-renamed.
Like,
and then like
we have a Cameron Grimes and also we have a Timothy Thatcher.
It makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason to any of it. It's just WWE nonsense.
Ciampa and Cross.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to, like, the Brody Mox thing with me. It's like, who wins?
I think Ciampa can lose. I think Cross can easily beat Ciampa.
But Ciampa just lost his last three feuds.
That's true. But it's NXT. It doesn't matter.
He lost the Gargano. He lost the Cole. He lost the one before that.
Finn? He was feuding with Finn, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he didn't win.
No, he didn't.
Like, he's getting kind of played out here, guys.
They should just call him up.
I don't think having him lose the Cross again will be...
Like, honestly, he should lose the Cross and he should just go to the main roster.
But they're not going to do that because... No, they're not going to do that because guys like Ciampa and Gargano are now brand specific.
Sure, but you can still call them up. It doesn't matter.
Call them up, Garrett? Call them horizontally.
That's true. Phantasma defeated Tozawa to win his Block B. They're in B, aren't they? Yeah, Block B of the Cruiserweight Tournament. It was very weird.
Right.
When he won, they were like, they danced around actually saying he won the block for like 30 seconds. And I'm like, do you not know that this is a winner-takes-all match? And they didn't even like talk about how this is a winner-takes-all match.
I think they didn't know that they were going by New Japan rules where if they draw but they have a win over the other guy, they win.
Mm.
So I think they were like, is this a tiebreaker now next week?
But like I think this was a taped show. We'll talk about it in a second in a way. It was very much a taped show. So like, surely they knew. Surely they know that like going into this, the story is it's winner takes all. Person who wins advances. And they didn't tell that story. And then when Phantasma won, they were like, you know, he's on top of the block. And then they showed the block, and then they were like, oh, he's won it. It's like, what?
Maybe they just hate Ilhéo del Fantasma because he's a kidnapping piece of shite.
Hey, don't you cast aspersions. You don't know yet.
I do. I've been digging deep.
Uh-huh.
I've been going around with my monocle. Mm-hmm. Not my monocle. What do they call it? What's the... magnifying glass.
There you go.
I've had my hat on, had a pipe in my mouth. I've been skulking around the Full Sail area. It's a dangerous mission I'm on.
You were nearly kidnapped yourself.
Yes, and I fought them off, thus, by my own logic, making me a prime suspect.
Mm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Talk yourself into that corner there. Much less person, interesting person won this match. Tozawa should have won.
It should have been Tozawa Kushida finals.
We're going to get like a Phantasma Jake Atlas final, aren't we? Or Jake Atlas against...
I know you can't hear me, but I hope you just felt me putting my head in my hands.
Tim Thatcher wants a tap out or knockout match against Matt Riddle.
Hybrid rules, baby.
The big Bobby Lashley, Drew Galloway, Slammiversary main event. Tap out or knockout.
Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Young World Rising.
There you go. That was a question on the Voices Wrestling Quiz night, which I did not get right. What was the hybrid rules?
Was it Young Wolves driving?
I don't know the show. The question was what was the name of the match, and I forgot. I was like, I knew it was something MMA based, and I guess mixed rules, which is a synonym for hybrid. I wasn't too far off.
I'm so good at these things because I pick up the stupidest parts of wrestling and memorize them.
Mm. Shotty Blackheart, Tank.
I had this moment where I was like, I really like the first minute of this, but then as it was closing, I was like, if someone walked in the room right now, would I be embarrassed? Yes.
Yeah, it was the montage of her like running over things and being like, take that, Candice LeRae. You suck, Mia Yim. Io Shirai, eat my tank. I was like...
No, my favorite one was like, huh, that one sounds like Dakota Kai.
I was like, oh, jeez.
You know the sound of Dakota Kai being ran over?
Yeah, it's like she did in fact say the words, eat my tank, during this.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of lame. Maybe just went on a little too long.
She didn't blow anything up either.
Yeah, what's the point of a fucking tank if you're not going to shoot it?
That's very much true. Mia Yim squashed Santana Garrett. My main takeaway from this, aside from my name, is still protect your neck. Terrible.
Garrett, would you like to play us a quick quiz?
Mm-hmm.
How many Wu-Tang Clan references did Mauro Ranallo get in the last 2 seconds of the match?
I think I've zoned Mauro out because I haven't had a Mauro quote in a few weeks, but I'm going to say 4.
Oh, slightly overachieving, but he got 3 in.
Aw.
With protect your neck. Oh no, I've forgotten the memes now. But there was 3 because I counted it and I was like, he got 3 Wu-Tang Clan references in 2 seconds.
Well, protect your neck is the name of the move. So in fairness, that's he said he could have that one.
Ah, he said protect your neck, and then he had Mia's for the children at one point. But there was one other one that I can't remember.
Mm. Yeah, protect your neck. Terrible move. It looks awful.
It's better than the soul food.
That's true. After the match, Johnny Gargano and Candice ran out. My favorite thing was after Keith Lee eventually made the save, Johnny and Candice did the most like over the top idiotic cartoon running, and it very much amused me.
Gargano's always been better as like a dorky heel.
He's so much better as a dork. Like, because as you accurately said a few weeks ago, he's a dork. He just is.
Yeah.
So when he's a heel and he can just be a dork, he's so much better than being like a dork who's like, I fight for the brand, heart and soul to the soul or ground or whatever Mauro's quote is. Loyal to the soil. Yep. There we go. That's the Mauro quote.
Oh, God. I forgot about that. And then Keith Lee's theme played because fuck you, Mia.
Yeah. And because the men are more important here, Liam, obviously, which is... Sure.
Well, you see, the men in these feud have a title, and the females don't.
Yes, indeed. So we'll probably get some mixed tags, and that's the next North American title feud between Johnny Gargano and Keith Lee, which is a pretty good mid-card feud, I'll give him.
I wish they still did intergender, because Candice and Keith Lee would have a really good match.
That's true. Go to PWG, have that match.
Yeah, just go back.
Last week, we had Cameron Grimes beat Finn Balor. Priest was revealed as his attacker. Grimes cut a promo.
He cut a really weird promo.
Yeah, good old Grimes. The poor girl.
Also, he dropped a Grime time, which I was like, ooh, timing. They're not going to capitalize off him beating Finn Balor at all, are they?
No, it's going to be an NXT feud. He's going nowhere. But, like, the thing is, if you were to capitalize on it, on this television show, what would you even do? He's already wrestled Keith Lee.
He beats Adam Cole for the title.
There you go. Like, that's the problem with this show. Even when you're like, what should they do to advance Cameron Grimes? The answer is, I don't really know.
All right. So, NXT introduces an intercontinental title, right? Just more belts.
Or the NXT division is introduced.
Well, they already have the cruisers.
Don't worry about it.
They have five belts.
It's not about weight limits on NXT. It's about no limits.
They have five belts. Drake Maverick.
Here's the win, yeah.
I didn't like this promo.
I don't want to see Drake Maverick on the show. It makes me feel bad.
I thought it was too jokey.
But like, I'll talk about this more when we get to the match. Yeah, Adam Cole giving out about creepy-ass Dexter Lumis before their match.
Yeah, he's not even the biggest creep in this next segment.
Roderick Strong defeated Dexter Lumis after the match. There was a big brawl. My favorite part of this entire segment was Dexter Lumis just holding Roderick Strong in his lap, rubbing his head.
I really liked how he had him in the choke, and they were kicking him in the face and back, and he was just no-selling it.
Yeah, he wants to choke people out. He's a sadist. That's fine.
Isn't it crazy how, like, out of all the people that they signed in the last 6 months, Sam Shaw
is getting the biggest push.
Is the goddamn most push.
Yeah, he loves Sam Shaw.
Who would have thought that, like, Sam Shaw might win the NXT title?
What a day that would be. I'm actually kind of sad, because Sam Shaw used to be, his thing used to be that he used to do a bunch of really cool athletic stuff, and he does none of it anymore, which kind of makes me sad.
NXTNA, baby.
Well, the Raw is being main evented by a 2016 TNA program, and NXT is being main evented by a 2014 TNA character, so there you go. Everything's TNA tributes.
Well, everything.
After the match, Dream brand people came out and hit an elbow drop.
It was so good. I mean, I don't know how they hit that so perfectly. It must have been very dangerous.
He stood on the top rope and hit an elbow drop over the guardrail to Adam Cole, who was lying there on the floor. And the way they shot it was they shot him jumping.
Yes, he definitely did that.
Yes, 100%. But they shot him jumping. They shot him turning in the air to land with his elbow, with his left elbow in an elbow drop. And then they cut to a shot of him coming down on the exact opposite side with his right elbow hitting an elbow drop. And I'm just like, this is the richest wrestling company in the world. They make billions and millions of dollars. They have hundreds and hundreds of employees. And they can't be bothered to cut together two shots in a way that makes sense. Like, this is why wrestling sucks. Because you have, like, the industry leader, the market leader, the company with all the money, all the resources in the world, can't be bothered to, like, implement basic continuity. Like, if this was assumedly taped and someone looked at it and said, that's fine, then someone else probably approved it, and then it got on the television show. Not once did someone say, hey guys, he's coming down at a completely different angle than we filmed him jumping. That makes no sense. It's going to look stupid. Like, how does that happen in this gigantic corporation with hundreds of employees, multiple people doing quality control, the people who filmed it, the people who blocked it, the wrestlers who filmed it, and then the people who approved it afterwards and then put it in the television show, the people who edited it into the show? None of these people at once said, why is he coming down at a completely different angle than he jumped? And that just, it's like, that's why WWE is terrible. There's many reasons why WWE is terrible, but like, the fact that that basic amount of quality control does not exist in this company is why everything is bad. Like, everything, it permeates everything they do. Everything is cheap, everything is bottom of the barrel, everything is rushed, everything is just like, we want to churn out content because we need to tick that box in our contracts. Nothing is like, we want to make stars. Nothing is like, we want to tell these great stories. Nothing is like, we want to deliver a great product or deliver great matches. It's just like, oh, we'll have him do an elbow drop, but we don't want to do him do it, which I'm fine with. I have no problem with them doing the actual cut. No reason for these people to kill themselves in front of nobody, but God, do it in a way that's somewhat competent.
I really hope that whichever Full Sail student that edited this segment together really failed their assignment.
Like, legitimately, if this was a college assignment and you handed it in, they'd be like, that's a very bad cut there, kid. You gotta work on that.
I don't care about this match at all. I have zero opinions on it.
Yeah, the match
I
happened.
Have zero opinions on most of NXT.
This is my... Akira Tozawa was in the freaking backstage area where there's still absolutely no security. They're still filming pre-tapes with nobody
and
surrounding
them.
And
you know what? I said this to JR, and now I'm going to say it to you, NXT Twitter account. Just because you acknowledge that it's bad doesn't mean you get an excuse for it being bad. Fix the problem.
That makes it worse if you can identify that, that there's a problem here, that there's no security. At least, like, show security jumped in the background. Like, it's that easy, you know? There's two security guards who are attacked in the background, and then they try and do the kidnapping. No one thinks about anything.
Run up after the guys get away.
I hate NXT.
Can we just skip straight to the main event?
I was going to give out that DJZ and Raul Mendoza have been kidnapped for like 10 weeks now, and they don't mention
They're
it.
They're dead.
They just don't mention They're it. They're dead. Like, at no stage have they been like, Joaquin Wilde has been missing for 2 months.
No one's even searching, but Garrett. They're dead.
They could be.
It's time to move on.
Logan Burch killed Ever-Rise. Who cares? Keith Lee promo. Who cares? Matt Riddle promo, who cares? Oh no, they're having a cage fight. Let's talk about that.
MMA.
They're doing a cage fight. Knockout or tap out in a cage.
MMA.
Why they're blowing that feud off with a takeover coming up, I don't know, unless they're calling somebody up. But even if they are, they could still stretch it out to a takeover.
Mixed martial arts.
Kushida defeated Drake Maverick. Other way around. Drake Maverick defeated Kushida in a match I didn't like because they did the kind of underdog story I hate.
Wait. We skipped over a whole match.
No, I mentioned Ever-Rise, didn't I?
No.
What match did I skip?
You went straight. You went over Only Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Ever-Rise.
No,
you didn't even
it.
Mention it.
I did. No, I literally read.
You did not.
I said, Only Lorcan and Danny Lurch defeated and squashed Ever-Rise. Who could possibly care? And moved straight on.
Oh, sorry. I was zoned out, if I'm being honest. Ever-Rise had nice gear. Move on.
Yeah, that's about it. Actually, I didn't really like it. I thought it was weird looking.
here we go.
But yeah, the WWE did their version of an underdog match. It's a guy gets his ass kicked and he catches a pin and wins. Instead of like a guy gets his ass kicked and he fights back and earns his win. One of those is good. One of those is bad. The one WWE does is bad.
I wanted Kushida to win just so he could get this this whole storyline put out of his misery.
If Maverick loses next week, the fact that they did the tie. They're going to bring him back again and then have him lose. It would be very different. I don't want him to
then
win, though.
He'll win the tie and then he'll just lose to Phantasma.
I don't... And their booking of Drake Maverick is the exact opposite kind of underdog booking. It's the tip of WWE against all odds booking instead of like, he's an underdog, so he should fight harder to earn his wins, not fight less. I hope they do a finger poke of doom next week because Jake Atlas. It's like, oh, he's feeling sorry for Maverick. You know, he's his pal. I hope
what a dope that would make him look.
He takes a dive for Spud. Then Spud turns heel, and this was a play all along.
It's gonna be Jake pinning Spud.
Yeah, it probably will be.
And Jake will be like, why could how did you do that to me? You're my biggest fan.
Next week, we have the triple threat. We have Matt Riddle and Tim Thatcher in a cage fight. There we go.
Wow. The match is probably going to be good. You'll hate it. I'll like it.
Damian Priest cut a promo. I don't remember what he said. Do you remember what he said?
Oh, the fucking snakes in the back.
He has a takeover match with Finn Balor. For the love of God.
That fucking snake in the grass. Damian Priest. Oh, the boys. They're looking out for themselves. I really like doing this podcast mostly because I like to do that accent.
Your exemplary Irish accent.
It's not even an Irish accent. It's just a Finn accent.
It's not even a Finn accent. It's a caricature of a Finn accent.
Oh, let me... can I do Becky?
Sure, go for it.
Oh, I have a fucking kid. Oh, Seth fucking impregnated me. It went Scottish. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. It's 2 a.m. It's 2:30.
Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai ended in a disqualification when Charlotte ran out and booted Shirai. And I hate this show.
Man,
I
really hate Charlotte. I just don't want to see her lose now. She screwed me out of two matches and now I want to see her fucking lose.
I hate this. Like, the idea is that's how people will think. And nobody thinks like that. Everyone's like, NXT fucked me out of a finish twice now. Screw them. I'm not watching their dumbass television show anymore.
Shouldn't just, like, EO win because she got hit first?
Well, yeah, in theory.
Well, triple threat.
Triple threat, because God forbid we have two good singles matches. Well, we have to do two bad singles matches.
Charlotte can't get pinned.
If Rhea beats Io to win the title, that will be the cherry on top of the shit show that has been these finishes. Like, I'm sick. Like, I don't understand.
Beats your top prospect, then beats everyone else, and then loses, but doesn't take a pinfall to put her over.
Oh, if that happens, I'm going to bury it so badly. I will devote a full, like, 35 minutes of this podcast to burying that if that
of a
happens.
Podcast that doesn't even review that show.
These finishes, I don't understand how you can be a writer's room and be like, all right, we did Charlotte Neo, was that last week or 2 weeks ago? I don't even remember. And we ripped people off with a finish. Yeah. And we're going to do Io and Rhea, and we're going to rip people off with a finish again. And no one is like, won't we just piss people off doing that? These are our main events. Why are we ripping people off with our dumbass main events?
I don't think they care.
They don't care. That's the problem. They don't care. They just want to churn this show out, and they're desperate to beat AEW, but God forbid they produce a good television show. Remember when NXT was the good show? Like, the idea that it's like...
Or at least had the good wrestling.
Yeah, that it was the show that was WWE's great hope, that had all this great character development and great wrestling and great payoffs, and this show is just dreadful. It's absolutely dreadful lately.
It's just... It's not even that, like, I think it's necessarily bad. It's just... It's a boring show where nothing feels like it matters.
There's just nothing happening. There's nothing going on. There's nothing meaningful. There's no, like, progression. There's no story development. There's no character development. It's just... There. It's all just there. It's just Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes is like the figurehead for what everything is wrong with NXT. As everything about how he is booked is everything about how NXT is terrible lately. I really, like, I'm very frustrated with this show because, like, in the empty arena, I didn't like Dynamite this week, but on the whole, Dynamite has been an easy-to-watch show in an empty arena environment, which suggests that the underlying format, the underlying formula of Dynamite is actually pretty good. On the flip side, NXT has been really quite bad in an empty arena environment, underlining the fact that the underlying formula is quite bad. And it really has exposed these shows in two very different ways. One in a good way, one in a bad way.
And it's reflecting it in the viewership, where AEW somehow in this hellscape is managing to claw back to where it was, while NXT and its big brothers and sisters continue to plummet.
And, like, you know, the Bundesliga came back last week, it was watched by like a billion people. UFC on pay-per-view got 700,000 buys. People are starved of content. People are not starved of bad content. I think that's the lesson to be learned.
AEW did 700,000 this week with that show.
But a show I did not like.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, just be decent.
All right, match of the week, Liam.
None of them?
I think... Well, it's Phoenix and Orange Cassidy. It's not even close.
None of them?
You didn't like Phoenix and Orange Cassidy?
I don't care anymore.
Pick a match.
Ugh, Phoenix and Orange Cassidy.
Show of the week.
None of AEW by like a point.
I don't care. I didn't like it. I went into the show thinking I didn't like AEW more than I didn't like NXT, but I think I ranted more about NXT than I ranted about AEW, so.
Well, which one is more dangerous?
I guess I have to go with AEW. It doesn't matter. Poll is 83% AEW and 17% NXT, so.
Just vote NXT, so for the first time ever, you can vote NXT while I vote AEW.
Fine, I'll give it to NXT. Two shows I didn't like.
Wow.
But yes, all time. There you go. Congratulations, AEW. You win again.
What a somber ending to, like, what was a really good first 10 minutes of this podcast.
Yes, we started with the world is going to end, and we ended with wrestling is bad.
Hey, Garrett. When NXT eventually and inevitably gives up, let's just keep podcasting and we'll just talk about the world.
That's the war is the, well, we've set it up, we can be Wednesday World War
III. War never ends.
You can follow us on Twitter at WarGamesPod, where you can vote in the poll. You can listen, you follow me on Twitter at Garrett Kidney, GARRETTKD. Anyway, you can follow Liam on Twitter at Larrikin, but he's protected, so he will not accept your request, but you could try.
I mean, if you have a good following, I will accept you.
Mr. Frickin' Gatekeeper.
If you're verified, I'll accept you.
If you would like more Elite coverage in your podcast feed, you can listen to Everything Elite. If you'd like more WWE television show coverage in your podcast feed, you can listen to Shake Them Ropes. Thanks for listening.
And if you'd like more me...
Oh, yeah, you're no, on Omakase you like this week.
More me, I want it tomorrow.
Have you recorded it yet? Oh, no, you have to watch the matches.
Yeah, I'm going to read the matches that we're reviewing. So if you want to hear myself and John's takes on the Young Bucks versus Brian Danielson, Roderick Strong from PWG, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn from NXT, Kota Ibushi versus Shinsuke Nakamura from New Japan, and Tetsuya Naito versus Kenny Omega from New Japan, as well as the greatest match of all time, Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada at Dominion the first time. A match that I will love and will murder John's soul.
Fun podcasting times. Thanks for listening and bye-bye.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.